Hello and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Words of Welcome, the teaching ministry of Welcome Baptist Church, Heathfield.
Hello. We're going to be thinking about the big idea of the Christian life. What is the big idea? Actually, as I say that, I think I sound like a New York taxi driver. Hey, what's the big idea? What's the big idea? What's the big idea of Christianity? What's the big idea of the Christian life? Well, we can sum it up in one word, gospel, which means good news. What is this gospel? What is this good news? It is that God, Almighty God, wants a relationship with humanity, wants a relationship with us. This King of heaven, this King of glory, this King of righteousness, the King of kings, wants a relationship with you. This one who is enduringly strong, sound like Lockeridge, entirely faithful, eternally steadfast, immortally graceful, imperially powerful, impartially merciful, wants a relationship with you. The one whose reign is righteous, whose love never changes, whose goodness is matchless, wants to be in relationship with you. That's good news, but there's bad news. And the bad news is our rebellion. We have turned away from God. We have pursued our own goals. We have done our own thing. And this rebellion, the Bible tells us, has brought death and it has brought separation from God. But there's good news again. This God loves us so much. The faithful, steadfast, merciful love of God means that he has a plan. He sent his son, his only begotten son, his perfect son, whose life was matchless, whose promise was secure, whose lordship is eternal, to die on the cross for our sin, for our rebellion. He pays our debt. He redeems our life. He dies our death and gives us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, his risen life. The wages of our rebellion, what we earn through our rebellion, through our sin, was death. And that death was placed on him. And his life, his relationship with God, is credited to us. His goodness, his perfection, imputed, given freely to us, as is the power of the Holy Spirit, God's free gift, which comes out of his sheer generosity. Because of his favor, undeserved favor poured out on our lives, we are given freedom, liberation, life, hope, life in all its fullness. Wow. That's the big idea of the Christian life. But what about us? What is our part, if any, in this life? What do we do in the light of what God has done? Well, Jesus tells us. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's read it together. but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I want us to look particularly at the first few words in this verse. The first word is but. So all that he says in this verse stands in contrast to what he said before. In the preceding verses, Jesus has told us not to worry about what we will eat, how long our life will be, what we will wear. But on the contrary, we are to concern ourselves, to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to us. These things are what we will eat and how long we'll live and what we will wear. They will all be held by God. So that's the first word. The second word is seek, but seek. Now, I lost my keys this week and I was late for a meeting and I just couldn't find them anywhere. As I searched, my looking, my searching, my seeking became really intense. There was an urgency. There was a desperation. There was a single-mindedness and an energy in my seeking. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. As we seek the kingdom of God, there is to be the same kind of urgency as when we lose something. So Mackenzie, my middle son, lost his wallet. Much more serious than keys. There was money, there were driving license, credit cards. He'd lost his wallet. We turned the house upside down. We didn't find it. There's a desperation, an earnestness about searching. Under settees, inside pillows, we looked everywhere. And then we looked everywhere again. And then we looked everywhere again. And on the third sweep, somewhere we checked twice before, down the back of the sofa, we found his wallet. Jesus says, with that devotion, with that energy, with that persistence, seek the kingdom of God. It's incredible. Now, here's something really important about these verses. They are spoken to believers. They are not spoken to people outside. They are spoken to people, perhaps like you and me, who want to know God. People who have already found him. Now, I want to labor this point because it's a really important point. We often think that when we have found something, we stop searching, as we did with the keys or the wallet. But Jesus is saying, when God has found you, then you start seeking. Jesus talked about seeking a lot. He talked about seek and you will find. Again, that is to people within the faith community. That's to believers. He says, knock and the door will be answered to you. Again, that is in a community of faith, of believers. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever would let me in, I will come in. And I will eat and I will drink and I will have fellowship with them. Jesus is actually saying that to a whole church. Now, we often use these verses evangelistically to say, come, you know, Jesus is knocking at the gates of your heart. But when Jesus said them, he's saying them to believers. This seeking is something that believers do when they know God. Now that's an incredible sentence because it's so in opposition to what the world says. The world often likes to present itself as seeking God, seeking meaning, seeking relationship with God, seeking the spiritual. We may even say in church of such and such a person, well, they don't know God, but they're seeking. Now, funnily enough, that is an anti-biblical concept. The Bible says this, and it's found in Romans 3, verse 20. No one seeks after God. The world makes it out that God is very hard to find. And so you need to search desperately hard, as if he's playing some game of cosmic hide and seek, leaving tiny clues here and there, a trail of esoteric breadcrumbs, so that only a very small, devoted clique will find him. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible says that he is not hiding from us. On the contrary, we are hiding from him because we love our ways. So the Bible says this, we love living in the darkness. We love doing things at night because we feel it's unseen by God. Our deeds aren't known. And we like it just like that. We are the ones that are hiding, not God. He is boldly, universally, clearly revealing himself to people every single day. The very breath that you are breathing now is an evidence for those who want to see it that God is real. The stars in the sky, the sun, the moon, the birds are all evidences that God is real. We talk about a bomb going off in a large supermarket, and this bomb explodes, and out of this explosion is formed what? Well, it's just mess. It's just chaos. But the world says there was this big bang and everything was formed. The world says it's like a bomb going off in a supermarket and a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings is made. It's ludicrous. There is evidence of God everywhere, but it's us who are hiding. It's not God who runs away from us, but us who run away from him. A few years ago, I lost my keys. It was different from this week, because when I lost them a few years ago, I was blissfully happy. I was content. I wasn't worried. I had no concerns. I wasn't even searching. Do you know why? I didn't know I'd lost them. I didn't know. And that's a picture of our world. Our world doesn't know it's lost. It doesn't have a clue. And so it's living blissfully in darkness, or as C.S. Lewis would say, blissfully playing on a rubbish slum when a trip to the beach is being offered. So Jesus says to those who know him, who know they're lost, seek first the kingdom of God. God has sought you out. Not only does he not play hide and seek where he is the one hiding, he pursues us. He runs after us. He's not hiding. He's running towards you. So Jesus told three stories to the Pharisees, who were getting really grumpy that sinners and lost people were entering into the kingdom of God. He told these three stories. And in the first story, God is a shepherd. Now they'd understand that. The Lord's my shepherd. And what this shepherd does is it leaves 99 sheep and goes off after the one. He doesn't give up. There's a relentless pursuit. In fact, God is the one who goes with urgency and determination and energy after the lost sheep. He tells another story about an older lady who loses her wallet. And again, the house is swept. It's turned upside down. There's a relentless, energetic, single-minded pursuit for the lost thing. The lost thing, Jesus says, is you and me. His final story was about a son and a father who loved him so much that his love covered a multitude of sins. That's God, who seeks after us and wins us to himself. So having been found by God, God says to us, seek first the kingdom of God. If you think you found God and the kingdom of God in all its fullness, I've got to tell you, you are wrong. If you've stopped searching for God, hungering and thirsting for him, I've got to tell you, you are in error. If you are complacent about your life, if you think everything is just hunky-dory, I've got to tell you, you're in error. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul said, not that I've already obtained it, but this I do. I press on to the goal that is ahead, forgetting what is behind, seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what he says. Now, if Paul says that, how much more me? How much more you? This is a lifelong pursuit of the presence of God. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the presence of God. It's where his rule and reign, his majesty and splendor dwells. It's living our lives under his gaze, living for his glory, living for him, loving him, and knowing how much he loves us. It's the kingdom of God. It's one other word I want us to think about before we finish. And that's this word first. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, it's the Greek word protos. And it doesn't mean first in a series of things. It doesn't mean first in a series of numbers. It's much more important. It's much more weighty. A much more three-dimensional word than that. The closest that we can get to it, perhaps, is the word prototype. the before thing. Before you do anything else, Jesus is saying, before anything else, seek first the kingdom of God. It's first in the list of priorities. Before anything else. In fact, the Trusty Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words says that this word protos not only is the opposite of last, but it's the opposite of second. That's quite a concept to get our heads around, because it has nothing to do with a series of things, but the thing that comes before anything else. So before anything else, Jesus has commanded that you would seek first the kingdom of God. So what about us? Us who are apt to doubt. Us who are apt, very ready to start worrying about what we'll eat or what we'll wear or worry about our health. What about us? What do we do? Well, I think the first thing we have to do is take this seriously. It's not an optional extra for the Christian life. It is the one overarching priority. It is the one goal of the Christian life, to seek his face, to seek the presence of God, to see our lives in the light of his unfolding grace, and to live for his glory. It is the one thing that should drive us. We cannot write this off. We cannot say this is just for fanatics. This is for everyone who owns the name Christian. Seek first, like a race. Cast off everything that hinders. Fix your eyes on Jesus, on the kingdom of God, his friendship, his intimacy, his love, his family. Seek first his ways, his righteousness, his call. Seek first, as if you've got blinkers on, because the worries of the world, they're just over there. The worries of our health, they're just over there. What we will wear, it's just there. But seek first, single-mindedly, with the same passion, the same energy that he seeks after you. First thing, take it very seriously. The second thing, realize how powerless we are to do this unless God pours out his Spirit. He is the seeker. He knows all about seeking, looking, finding, chasing down. And so when we invite him to help us, we have incredible power, his power, the same power that brought Jesus back to life will empower our searching. It's one thing I know about searching, because I lose so much, is that it's hard work, it's tiring, it's exhausting. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I wonder, will you join me in a prayer for seeking? Father God, I thank you that you have chased me down, that you know my name, that you sent your son to die, that I might live. Father, would you pour out your Holy Spirit, that I may take this verse incredibly seriously, that I would live my life in the light of it, Would you give me strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to pursue you with the same steadfastness, the same energy, faithfulness, and urgency with which you sought me? I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Words of Welcome. For new episodes and more, please visit welcomebaptistchurch.uk.